Let's build a business based on H2H, not B2B, but human-to-human sales and marketing automation. A human approach is the only one that sells.
Today, I'm speaking with Sarah McDevitt from HubSpot, who leads partner strategy at a global level. We're diving into one of the biggest questions in modern sales. How can sales teams use AI without losing the human touch? Here is our conversation.
If it's a one-way street, you're never going to get to the answer. So you need to make sure that with empathetic structuring, you're figuring out, like, what are the rules of engagement? What do I need from you? What are you going to give to me? What are you also going to bring to the table so I can make sure I get you the best answer? And there's lots of different ways you'd use empathetic structuring in different particular use cases. But I think during the sales process, it's making the customer aware that they are also accountable for sharing information to help you get to the best answer. And then I'd say the last one is bringing the humanity that the AI isn't going to bring, but more importantly, that no other human is going to bring in the sales process. So it's not just about humans versus AI. It's actually humans versus humans. And what I'd say is that there's a big difference between a human that is just showing up and breathing and using up air and oxygen, and there is a human that is great, who is using all the signals to add value, make a connection with the customer, and build the kind of rapport that means that you can make a sale because you understand more deeply, but not just that you can make a sale today, but that you can make and continue to make a sale, much like loop marketing.
So it's like authentic approach. You are who you are, and ability to build that relationship. The question is now, obviously, we have playbooks, loop playbook, fantastic playbook. We'll get into it later on for how to use your marketing, how to use AI. What would you say is missing when it comes to the salespeople? Because you say, like, ability to read the room now with era of obviously social media, yes, that's right, but now AI and everyone else. It's very tough to get that attention, even from the buyer's perspective. You want to meet them, but they exactly are the same. They are watching screens, they are browsing all of the informations, and then you won't get that attention. Skills within, you know, sales, helping to, you know, to build that core, core relationship. What would you say to that?
So I think you have to look at the disease rather than the symptoms when it comes to the build, you know, the using, you know, relational intelligence. So if we think on a very human level, right, why do some sales reps rush sales?
Yeah.
Why are they taking shortcuts? It's because they need to hit a quota, right? And if we go like a step further, why are they in a rush to close this deal this day, this month? Because they haven't pipeline planned, right? So, you know, relational intelligence and the ability to use it as a tool depends on you getting your structures right and your processes right in terms of allowing yourself and giving yourself the space to have human connection. So if you are not pipeline planning, you're not like using AI to figure out your administration and book time, you're then not creating the space that you can reinvest in connection, which is the ROI piece, right? So when I look at sales reps, sometimes we're taking the shortcuts. They're not asking the right questions. They're not listening. They're distracted. They're distracted by the fact that they didn't pipeline plan, and now they got to close 5 deals before the end of the week in order to pay their mortgage and, you know, feed their kids. Which, if we think about it on a human level, that's what everyone is just trying to do in life, right? Is survive.
Yes.
And so if you put the time in and plan and have, you know, that pipeline planning, you understand like the ebb and flow of your deals, you understand this is not a deal for today, this is a deal that's going to be closed next month, you're creating the space for connection, and that is the thing that creates a lot more deeper connection and, I would argue, a lot more future sales opportunity.
So many sales leaders might listen to this because that is the podcast all about. What would you say to them? Like, now it's quite a lot of, for so many, maybe even confusion. Like, okay, we're talking about AI and, you know, using it at speed, and then we're talking about something that is us. Mm-hmm. So us, humans, we are not ideal. We have our own, our different abilities within the teams. How would you approach, like, how would you say, what would you do next now in 2025 and above how would you invest? What would you invest in the sales to be success? Not only from the AI perspective, from the human perspective.
So, you know, I think, you know, as I said, it's really for me, it's AI plus ORI. So, like, get your tools in place. But don't just buy tools and then go, well, I have the AI now and it does basic things.
Yep.
You have to be curious. You have to really experiment with the AI to understand where it's going to help you. And then you have to create, you know, I think about like three boxes, right? There's the box that like AI is really good. It's efficient. It doesn't need to be supervised. It does tasks that you don't even need to look at, right? That's a time saving right there. Then there are the bits where it's humans plus AI plus agents as a team, right, a collaboration team. They're the tasks that need oversight from humans, but you can lean into the AI to make it super efficient and then more have like a checking and like, you know, checking for accountability, making sure that it's all aligned. Then and the way I look at it is, it's almost like, you know, it's like a 20-20-60 rule for me, because the 60% then is the humans. You know, humans are complex. They need time. They need space. And if you are treating those three buckets as equals in terms of your time, it's never going to work, because you're always going to be rushing the human relationships because you don't have the time because you're doing the other stuff. So if you separate really clearly and you get clear on, here's what AI does really well, here's what AI does that I don't have to supervise it, it's going to do all that for me. That's going to work away by itself. That's you know, an efficiency right there for me. Then within the 20% where you're thinking about AI plus humans plus agents as a team, you're figuring out minimal human oversight there. So you're like they can do certain tasks for you, and then it's minimal oversight. And then you're spending all your time in the human part, where you're essentially asking people what they did for the weekend, how were the kids, I was playing pickleball, or whatever it was. And so the next time you have a conversation with that customer, you're able to find a point of connection where you can start the conversation, you can remember things about them, they feel that you have actually been present and you've listened to them. And that builds an element of trust, obviously, although I would argue trust can be built very, very fast, right? If you're able to bring, you know, the authenticity, logic, and, you know, empathy to the conversation. Like, those three things, if they're all present, you can build trust in a matter of moments with people. It's not a...
Yes.
People often say, like, trust takes a long time to build and a very short time to break. I don't agree with that. I think you can build trust with people in a very short space of time if you can use those three things. And so that's, you know, that's where you want to be spending the majority of your time. Now, why do I say that? Because, you know, very shortly, everyone will be on a level playing field with the same level of access to AI to do the automation, right? So everyone's automating, everyone's using AI to do those tasks. So if we stop there, what would be different about us? What would be different? We would all be the same. And if you go up the next level and you say, like, we're all using... I do think there is a bit of differentiation in the second bucket, because it depends on how you're using the agents and how you're using the AI and how creative and innovative you're thinking about what they can do for you in that team structure. So I'd say there's some differentiation there, but the biggest differentiation will be the way you're able to connect with humans, because your lived experiences are different to other people's lived experiences. And one of your lived experience might just be something you have in common with the customer, and that is going to build a ton of opportunity for you.
Human uniqueness. You are unique, and this is unique to your business, and that uniqueness can convert very quickly into the trust that will then lead to the lots of business opportunities. Sarah, you speak with quite a lot of partners, obviously, and highly recommended. We're going to definitely link up your podcast, which I'm a big fan of. What other leaders are doing in this space? In the space of human versus AI, how are they pivoting? You spoke with many people around us, especially at this conference. Maybe you can find the different trends, because people are maybe afraid, like, oh, this is the human part. This is like roadmap. What is the roadmap like now? Is just buyer journey just completely gone? You know, it's how are we gonna? So, what are other people are doing?
No, I don't think so. So what I would say is, don't, you know, we use that term, you know, crafted, not cobbled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the future, you have to think of that mindset when it comes to the AI shift and the loop marketing shift. You can't just, you know, build an extension on what was there and expect it to be sent, because the game has changed.
Yep.
And so what I'm hearing from partners this week is there's been a bit of an aha moment that I need to completely reinvent all of my processes. Now, some things are foundationally still true, you know.
Yeah.
Inbound was a philosophy. It's not just like inbound is dead. I think there's like elements of inbound that still, you know, ring true.
Yep.
But those components need to be reordered. And with loop marketing, we're no longer headed for a destination. You know, this week I've had a lot of conversations about the use of the word, for example, like delivery. Like delivery is an endpoint. You drop it off, you're done.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
Oh, loop, done.
Yeah. Loop marketing is, you're iterating all the time, right? You're like changing, you're evolving, you're learning. So I think that redefines how we sell services. I think loop marketing is a wonderful revenue model for partners because it isn't the end point of delivery. It is part of this loop where the next iteration is the next opportunity. You know, learning from the data is so important so that you're seeing like what customers are doing and saying, hey, we learned this from the data and now we can like do something else and we can iterate on it. So partners are saying to me, yeah, this is scary. And this is like, we're going to have to sit down and understand what this means for our business. But the smart partners are saying, you know what? This loop marketing is going to be an excellent revenue model for us. We just need to figure out how our processes loop with that. And so I think that is one thing I'm hearing from partners. Partners also, honestly, from an AI point of view, the vast majority are using AI for things like scopes of work. Mm-hmm. They're using it for, you know, some of their contracts and they're listening notes and they're using it for just doing the, you know, scoping out what they're doing. So I would say at a basic level, all partners are using it in that way. Then we have some partners who are using it, for example, using the transcripts from calls to measure like, mm-hmm. you know, leading indicators of like their customer satisfaction, or also using it to flag potential future risks based on the
yes.
relationship and the conversation. So I love that use of it because it connects the human element with the AI piece. And then we have a subset of partners who are starting to build agents. Now, I would argue that AI is going to democratize a lot of what we would refer to as technical work in the future. And so one thing I've been saying to partners this week is I want them to move away from relying on calling themselves technical, right? Because that won't be a differentiator in the future. I would rather partners moved into talking about there being complexity experts, right? Because complexity can be human. Complexity can be, cross-geo. Complexity can be across departments. And so if you define yourself as complexity, that does define you as upmarket. It defines you as someone who goes deep, wants to understand, and understands that you can't love your customers equally as a partner.
Yep.
You can only love them uniquely. And you have to focus on, you know, how you create that unique setup with each customer and solve for them. And you have, the way I always think about it is, you have all these tools, right? If you think about boxes under a table, you have all these tools. The tools will change. Some of the tools will go, new tools will be added. Customers don't want to see the tools. What they want to see is the top of the table laid out for them, for their business, and you should focus on only the top of the table. Customers don't need to know how you make everything. That's your job. You are the people
yep.
that are, you know, and I don't know if you have, we in Ireland, we say a swan under the water is always like, you know, they're just
peddling
away like mad,
but
they look so graceful on top. That's what partners need to do for customers in the AI age. They need to be the calm on the surface. And customers don't need to worry about what's underneath.
It's similar to house, you know. If you want to build a house in nice place, people mm-hmm. don't want to really bother about, you know, the building materials mm-hmm. and, you know, what is good. They want to have a design, maybe feel, maybe, then the decoration. So like a little bit of, like, what is on top of the table.
Yeah.
But the mechanics of this is just, you know, this is what you need to do, so do it. Very interesting. So, Sarah, this is very all interesting. Thank you very much for sharing. A couple of more questions and that we've done. Book, you are, I have a look at your profile and you are working on the book,
which
is fantastic. Mm. Maybe can you, like, what led you to actually go to do that journey to say, like, yeah, maybe book is the one thing. And the second thing is maybe tell us a bit more about that.
So, you know, I do have the book done for the most part, right? So it is finished. It's with the editor right now. And I would just, and this, the book will probably be a reflection of who I am as a person, which is the human equivalent of unstructured data, I often joke, as a person, right? And so the book, what I try to do is bring relational intelligence to life through stories of my lived experience, right? So I'm trying to make it super practical to explain the concepts by using very human stories about my life. And then what I talk about in the book is the current problem of disconnection, where everyone is running so fast to be AI experts, they're maybe going to be disrupted by the fact that they're leaving their humanity behind and the thing that is their unique differentiator in the market. Because when two partners go up against each other in a pitch, for example, for a deal, you know, all things being equal in terms of price and tooling, the reason they win the deal is because of who they are. They trust them, they connect with them, they like them, and they don't know why. There's a chemistry there between humans. So I talk about that and the warning signs of, like, let's not lose this, let's nurture it, let's not think it's going to just be obvious to everyone, and that it isn't something businesses need to focus on. And then towards the end of the book, I go through, like, practical frameworks of how you can build relational intelligence within your business. And a lot of people, Bart, will read this book and be like, you know, and this is the feedback I get all the time on relational intelligence, is, you know, Sarah, I felt that, I feel this right here in my soul, but I didn't know how to articulate it or put it down in a structure that was a framework I could follow. And so what I'm just trying to do is tell people something they've always known, but maybe they've forgotten.
I mean, looking forward. Do you have any dates? Like, what's the plan? What's the plan?
We'll see about publishers. Some work to be done there. But and, you know, I think the other thing that's interesting about the book is, and I've been, you know, my foreword of the book, right? My foreword of the book, I go into a few different things. But what I say is, of course I used AI to write this book, right? Because it would be pretty silly to write a book about relational intelligence and how it works with AI and not show how and demonstrate how a human can be amplified by AI. But the AI didn't live my experiences. I did. And so that is, I think, what I'm trying to show with the book is, you know, humans are amplified by AI, but it isn't what it is. They won't be like the creative energy behind how humans decide to kind of meet this next phase of our lives with AI.
And just for our listeners, tell us a bit more about, just briefly, obviously your HubSpot role, in a senior role now, but you've been in the digital world for years, I don't know how many years. Tell us a bit more of the story quickly from where you started.
Yeah, so I spent 16 years in total before coming to HubSpot running agencies, essentially. And I will tell you, I've been through some changes like this before, and the one I can point to is the internet, right?
Yep.
So at the time, I was a media buyer, so I bought television, radio, press, outdoor. And the internet came along, and customers were like, how do I get my ads into the internet? And at the time, my boss was like trying to find anyone who knew anything about the internet, and found someone, hired them, but in the end that person decided not to come, and everyone was like, what do we do now? At the time it's very limited people who know about the internet. So I had an interest, though, and I had done some research, and you know, a colleague of mine said to my boss, you know, what about Sarah taking this on? What about Sarah, you know, doing this? And so I read some books, I did some training, and I started to educate customers on what the internet was, how you got your ads on the internet, how you could use that traffic to drive, you know, how you could use that to drive traffic to your website, how you could drive conversion, working in the e-com space. And so I've seen the evolution of how the internet changed, you know, internet advertising. I've also seen, like, you know, I remember Bebo and, like, all the things that we used to do. I've seen, like, the social evolution as well, and, like, how people are using social. So I feel like these things are always cycles that we go through and we learn how to adapt to them. But I think before we had humans, like, using these things and being part of it, I think this AI one is different because humans are trying to figure out where they fit in the process. And I think that's why I'm so keen on relational intelligence, because I feel like that is our place in it, is to be amplified by AI, not replaced by it.
this is so fascinating. I'm looking forward for your book, looking at your perspective and having a, you know, that uniqueness of your career as well, you know, and your touch point. So this podcast is called H2H Sales Automation Podcast. Obviously, sales and automation doesn't sometimes work together, you know. And the final question is maybe one top tip, let's focus on one top tip. How to sell and be human? What would you say?
How to sell?
How to sell and still be a human.
And still be a human. I think the question of how are you doing at the start of a business call is underrated, because people answer that question,
yep,
and the most important question is the next question, which is how are you really doing? Because that's where a customer can go, oh well, I mean, you know, not great, and this didn't happen, and forecast or whatever. So we shouldn't ask surface level questions, and if we do, we should follow up with a question that will give us relational depth beyond surface information. And so you said about automation in sales. We already, as humans, automate a lot of what we say.
Yep.
We ask empty questions and we don't listen to answers. And so if we could optimize that automation to go answer not in-depth enough, not what I'm looking for, and really following up with, like, thoughtful and listening and asking follow-up questions and really caring about customers' businesses, and not just their businesses, caring about them and their role. Every human wants to impress their boss. They want to win. They want to make money for their families. And if we, like, remember that we're all in that same piece, we ask better questions so that we can make those people look like heroes. And if we make them look like heroes, that's where we, like, make the sales.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Sarah McGivitt of HubSpot. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Bert.
Let's build a business based on H2H, not B2B, but human-to-human sales and marketing automation. A human approach is the only one that sells.